The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
And so we've been cruising through the Old Testament, and we're there at chapter 19 of Genesis. And so if you'll turn there with me, you'll need a Bible to follow along, because we teach verse by verse. And in as we teach that way, not to say other ways aren't is wrong or anything, but as we teach verse by verse, I believe that every question, if you teach verse by verse throughout the whole Bible, as Paul said to the Ephesians at Miletus, I have not failed to teach the full counsel of God. I think if we do it that way, that every single question in life will be answered. Every single one. And so I think they should start probably teaching verse by verse there in the capital. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe they might learn a few things. At any rate, we're, again, chapter 19. Now look, you guys don't know this, but I have to tell the body here that I've kind of mandated for everyone to that teaches to do the whole chapter. Well, there's always an exception to the rule. And because we had Teen Challenge here and we added some more stuff, I didn't want to quickly go through this thing. It's such a pivotal time. And you know, if you guys that teach have something like that going on, because from this time on, it really picks up, doesn't it? It's just like a novel that or a TV series that all of a sudden starts to really pick up. And sometimes we can't get everything we need to get in one chapter. Plus we got, and I've asked my friend over here if he'd be okay. We have lots and lots. We got 13 or 14 cherry pies with ice cream. And so we need to have time to eat that too, right? I mean, we have to keep this thing balanced and fair. So let's begin there in chapter 19 and verse 1. We'll go to about 19, which is a little bit more than half of the chapter. Why did Lot linger? This we've been speaking about Lot, haven't we? Abraham and Lot? They come up and they like, okay, which part of the land do you want? And of course, Lot goes, ooh, I want this part. Just so happens, Sodom and Gomorrah was in that part of the land he wanted. Do you think that might have been a little self? It was the best part of the land, very best, but there was some evil there, a lot of evil there. He wanted to go there anyway. And then Abraham, he says, well, you know what? I'll take this part over here. It's okay. God will bless me. That's called faith. That's why Abraham's called the man of faith. He picked that which God wanted to have, even though he, in his own self, in his own sight, looked and said, well, you know, it's a no-brainer. Whenever you come up to a no-brainer, stop and ask God about it. Because many times the enemy will give you, especially our flesh, will give us no-brainers. We go, ooh, that looks really good. Really good. And then we get over in that, whatever it is, and guess what? We end up like Lot. And so Lot's biggest problem was he did not choose wisely, grasshopper. No. His choices were completely flesh. It was all about flesh. Every time he turned a corner. And then he got so deep into it that he just couldn't get out of it. It was just, he was so covered and smothered with flesh that his decision making was horrible. And one left to another. It started out by picking unwisely the territory that him and his crew, his family would occupy. And so decision making. Just making decisions according to what? Anyone? According to the flesh versus the Lord. Yeah. And we do that all the time, don't we? I mean, come on. Just the other night, I'm trying to lose some weight. And you know, that candy bar, man, that looked good. I said, Fresh? I'm not supposed to have that. Fresh said, what the deal? Just a little. Yeah, I'll just take one bite. That'll see, the sweet tooth is evil. And I just took a little bite, and it's off and running. Before I know it, the whole thing's gone. I'm guilt set in. Then I went in and lied to my wife. How'd you do on your diet today, honey? Great. Make sure no sin was showing. But that's what happens. It just is. And so, without any further ado, now, verse 1, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Stop there. Give me your attention for a moment. Although three men had appeared in Abraham, to Abraham, in chapter 18, and we saw that. Remember? Three men, they came, and we distinguished that one of them was a Christophany of Jesus Christ, and we know what that is. It's a appearing of Jesus Christ before his actual birth here on earth, and two angels. Only two go to Sodom. Now, why is that? Well, because the Lord himself does not enter into the city. Again, why? We find the reason in Psalm 66. It tells us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, that's what that says. You know, many times I've heard from different women, including my dear wife, which is totally right and true. She says, God won't hear your prayers if you're harsh with your wife. And that might be so. But especially this here, Psalm 66 says that he won't hear you if you're messed up with iniquity. He just won't hear you. What do you have to say to him except forgive me and repent? And so that is, if I am purposely, rebelliously, intentionally, arrogantly holding on to sin. I know some people like that. Basically, let's put it short. It's in your heart. It's a heart issue. And I'm sure, you know, all of us has had that problem. All of us. And I want to tell you, alcohol, drugs, they get involved with that. When you're in alcohol and drugs, you're arrogant, and you're until God brings you down to the end of it. And guys, I wanted to tell you, I'm no, I'm not a newborn baby when it comes to drugs. Okay, let's just say that. All right. And so, you know how awful they are, and how awful alcohol is, and it just brings you down, and it makes you intentionally arrogant and rebellious and purposely. I've seen people like that. Without alcohol and drugs, I've even seen people. They have a hard heart. And they want people to forgive them, but there's no repentance. It's obvious there's no repentance. Okay, I'm sorry, but I don't want you to talk about it anymore. And I got a million excuses why that happened, but basically I'm kind of sorry. Well, you know, there's prisons full of people that are sorry. You guys know that. But godly sorrow is repentance. And godly sorrow. And so we know here that when I pray, the Lord won't hear my prayers if we're like that. If we're arrogant like that. If our hearts are messed up. Or, if you will, he'll not come into my city and dwell into my house. He just won't speak to us. He'll not enter into my situation. You see, gang, even though the sin to which I so stubbornly cling many times was paid completely on the cross of Calvary. Somebody give me an amen on that. Yeah, well, we know that. The Lord loves me so much, He can see the future. He knows what we don't know. He says, I love you too much to let you go on your merry way day after day. I'm going to do that. As though there's nothing wrong. You can fool a lot of people, even your wife, your husband, but you cannot fool God. You just can't. Man, I learned that the hard way. Why? Because if I did that, he says, you would continue in your sin. And that sin would destroy you as sure as there is a sun in the sky and a moon at night. It just is. It will destroy you. If I just let it go, it's like, you know, a rampant cancer. It will just destroy you, eat you. If something isn't a, you know, bridge is out kind of a thing in your life by our Lord. So consequently, you won't feel his hand. You won't sense his presence many times. Not because he's not there, because we know the word says he will never leave us or never forsake us, but because your spirit senses something is not quite right, we know something's wrong. Because we just don't feel like we used to. We don't feel the presence. We're not in his word. And even when we get in his word, it's like, oh, I don't want to read that. That's too, it's convicting, because you know you're doing something wrong. And I'm talking from 40 years ago experience. Then you turn somewhere else. And don't you know that same thing's talking to you? Then you turn somewhere else, and there's no place you could go in the Bible unless it's speaking right to your heart. And so you just quit reading. It's too convicting. It'd be much more easier to fall on your face and repent. But we many times don't. It plays out like this. When I feel as though my prayers bounce off the ceilings, it's not because the Lord is angry with me or mad at me, disappointed even in me, or turning away from me. Rather, it's an indication he's lovingly given to me, telling me that something's not quite right in my life. You see, if you're going along and everything's, you know, everything's not going to be perfect in this world. We know that, but you know, you have the Lord, and you feel, even when you get little humps, you know, and things go trials, and you, I got the Lord. Oh man, I got the, and many times, you know, like we'll discuss things at home, and we'll say, well, what about this? And we what about ourselves to death, don't we? What about, you know, and many times I'll just say, well, the Lord knows. Well, we're in the Lord. Now, if I wasn't in the Lord, if I wasn't doing the best I can and recognizing sin in my life and putting the brakes on when I need to, not my word, not doing all the things we should be doing, then I would start worrying. You guys catch that? And you know that in your own life, strong believers. You know that. Something's wrong. I'm worrying. I don't know. No, you're not trusting the Lord. And the reason why you're not trusting the Lord is because something's wrong in Tinseltown. We need to remember. So the angels went into Sodom, but not the Lord. He couldn't go into that evil. We also read in verse 1, like every other city gate in biblical times, the gate in which Lot had sat, it's a large area going into the city, an entrance of the city, where the city leaders would give advice, hang out, basically do nothing, chew the fat, and actually render civic decisions. Now, what do you think the women are, gals? They're doing all the work. The guys are, you know, at the gate. Proverbs 31, woman, when we read that every Mother's Day, it says that the woman is doing all these wonderful things. Plants a field, harvests this, makes blankets and all that. And then it says, so her husband can be at the gates with the elders, doing nothing, you know, kind of a thing. And so we see here, he's hanging out at the gate. He's hanging out with evil people. Bad company corrupts what? Right. But he's there. indicates that he would actually become a leader in Sodom. The obvious question is, how had Lot arrived at this point? Well, how in the world did you get there? You ever just sit down and go, how did I get here? How in the world did I get here? Just yesterday, I was okay. Yesterday meaning, a year ago, 6 months ago. How in the world did I get here? You can say that financially, relationship, emotionally, physically, all those things. How did I get here? Well, in Genesis 13:10, he is progressive. It's always progressive. You guys, you're not running a good life, and you're running the race and everything, and all of a sudden, oops. I'm in jail. Or oops, just all of a sudden, yesterday I was praising God and I had been clean for 2 years, and now, oops, this one day I just... That's kind of the way it feels, doesn't it? And you guys too. With anything in your life. It's always progressive. The enemy has he's got great patience. Our flesh is always there. It's never going away until we see Jesus as he is when we go to heaven, or he comes and gets us. It's just not going to happen. And we have to be aware of it. In Genesis 13:10, check this out. He looked at Sodom. 2 verses later, just 2 verses, he pitched his tents towards Sodom. I like that word towards. In the Hebrew, it means looking to go there. He pitched his tents toward Sodom. And then in chapter 14, he moved into Sodom. In other words, he arrived there one step at a time. That's always the way it is. Backsliding is always one step at a time. Individual, I don't care if it's individual or nationally. Nationally. It's called the frog syndrome. More about that later. Many of you might know about Herbie the Frog. I'll tell you later about it. Verse 2, man, we're off to a great start. Verse 2, and he said, hear now, my lords, please turn it to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. Talking to these two angels. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. Now, I know that these angels knew what was out there, okay, in the city. I think they just wanted to check it out and see what's going on. The angels initially turned down Lot's hospitality. I think it was, again, to check out the situation in the streets of Sodom, see how really bad it really was, because no one's going to touch those angels. They come there to destroy Sodom, and so there's no one going to touch them. And we'll see this in a bit. Verse 3 then says, but he insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. So he was really very hospitable. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, here comes the evil people. The men of Sodom, both old and young, that tells you something, doesn't it? Old and young, cross-generation, old and young, all the people from every quarter surround the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that they may know them carnally. If your Bible see carnally, if you see that word kind of italicized, it means it wasn't really supposed to be there. Something like sexual or something of that nature is what should be there. But they honed it down a bit, for us Americans. And so Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my bros, do not do such a wicked thing. Now, I've got some issue with that. Knowing what they were would befall them, the visitors in the streets of his city, Lot finally persuaded them to stay with him. Talking about the two angels. In this case, just so you will know, in this case, they're in verse 4 and 5. Bring them out to us that we may know them, just so you'll know. In this case, to know means to have homosexual relationships with them. You know, who taught last time? David? David, you taught? David's mentioned something that really got me interested. He said, if this wasn't a homosexual huge, like San Francisco thing that was going on, the homosexual population there is huge. If this wasn't that, there was a lot of evil things you said that was going on there that, you know, he didn't want to say much about. But he said, if this wasn't that, there's all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff that God just had. He had to burn them up. And there was, you know, crazy stuff. You know, eating babies is one of them. That's pretty crazy. Cannibalism. Beastism. Beastology. You know what that is? Just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Things like sexual perversions to literally die for. Well, I got to think, oh man, we haven't crossed that bridge. Not America. And I got to researching it. Do you know we have crossed that stage? Every single one of them. Mel Gibson just the other day came out with an article that, hold on to your seats, that Hollywood has an underculture of doing just that, drinking babies' blood and having all kinds of perverted sexual things going on there. And this is Mel Gibson. He should know. And I don't think the covers has actually been, you know, what do you think they call it the deep dark web for? There's stuff going on, and even in our nation, that is, if God don't come back soon, He, like Billy Graham said, he's going to have to raise God, Sodom and Gomorrah back up and give him a public apology, because our nation is just as bad, if not worse. Crazy, crazy stuff going on. The only thing that's holding it completely from going all the way to the top and everywhere is the Holy Spirit, the restrainer. That's, by the way, lives within us. Horrible stuff going on there. And so a man who began on a spiritual pilgrimage years previously, years, you read it, we've been taught in the past weeks, in verse 6 and 7, now calls a mob of crazed homosexuals bros. Anyone, and I want to be careful tonight, anyone that stands up and goes for killing babies, murdering babies, they're messed up. But a lot of times we call them bros. There are people out there that are on the outside, nice guys, nice people, nice women. But yet they salute and hurrah the killing of babies. Are they our bros? No. They're not our brothers. They can go to church, but they're not our brothers. I don't get that. I don't understand why. Look, Romans 1, I don't have time to go there, but read it. Romans 1 tells us that even the ones that participate in this sexual immorality of all kinds, those guys are in really, when they practice that, they're in danger of going to hell. And then it says something interesting. And it says, even those that, oh, I don't participate in that, but hey, I'm okay with that. I'm a liberal kind of guy. Hey, whatever they want to do, as long as it's not my mulberry bush, it's cool. It's all right. We need to have our minds open and apostolic. What? Apostolic? Even those people are in fear of Hades, of damnation, it says. You know, those people on the hill, talking about our capital, that says, you know, I'm not that way. You know, I have a wife and family. But, you know, I approve of it. It's okay. It's all right. Walt Disney, the other couple weeks ago, I found this out from Mia, my granddaughter. There is a show, a brand new show come out on Walt Disney, and it is a sitcom, and, you know, it's really a neat one. A lot of kids, it's funny, and, well, they introduce a homosexual kid. Cold water. The Hermit, the Frog Syndrome. And, of course, my daughter caught it in about a heartbeat and shut it down. But Mom, all the other kids at school, Christian school, by the way, watches it. We've got to watch it. I mean, we, the church, we need to watch it. And quit burying our heads in the sand. I understand officers don't do that, but we got to quit doing that. We've got to be alert. We live in a bubble here. In the sand hills. We need to understand that there's stuff going on that's infiltrating our kids. Now, you know, I sound like some old fogey. Man, I was a hippie. I mean, I had a lot of things going on that I thought was okay. But I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to what's going on nowadays. Nothing. It's Sodom and Gomorrah, what's going on nowadays. Call them bros. How low can you go, Lot? He's about to go lower still. Let's read about it. And just like sometimes us, we think we've reached the bottom, and then, you know, our addictions or our wants or our flesh then takes us even further down. And in verse 8, he says, see, now I have two daughters here. This guy, Lot had lost it. Who were not known by a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. Stop there. Give me your attention. The story is so unbelievably sordid and shocking, I might add, that I've researched it. I really have. And although I had a real quick study time tonight, I knew I was coming up on this. And so weeks ago, I just was researching a little bit because I need to know. It had to be. I researched it as much as I possibly could because I know that there had to be something in there that would explain this craziness of Lot with his daughters. In order to find a cultural, historical explanation, something for Dad who would offer up his daughters to such a wretched bunch of people. But there's none to be found, folks, that I found, other than the fact that Lot was completely desensitized to what was going on in those days. Completely. Don't tell me, guys, I'm telling you right now, your hearts can become so covered up with stuff that you're walking around and maybe saved, but you're walking around buying into, well, you know, it's the woman's body. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, hey, if a guy's born like that, if a girl's born like that, you know, then why not? You know, come on. There's churches everywhere that's biting into that. Again, the frog syndrome. I just don't get it. There's nowhere to be found. Not one. Other than the fact that Lot was completely, again, hardened. Notice with me, he had been in Sodom so long that he had become accustomed to the perversion. Accustomed to the perversion. He wasn't a part of it, but he was just, how much longer would it take before he started that crazy stuff? We know he wasn't part of that, and I'll tell you in a second. Gang, things that once shocked and scandalized our community and even our nation are now totally acceptable, right? You guys know that, if you know your word. Because like Lot, we as a nation have been so seduced that we have lost our moral compass. We've lost our moral compass. I never thought TV would be like it is today. You can't watch TV for more than 5 minutes. There's some crazy stuff going on. Crazy stuff. Commercials. I mean, my wife and I was trying to watch a decent show, and a commercial came on, and I looked at it, and I threw my hands over my face, and she said, "Shut your eyes! Shut your eyes!" she said. And I said, "I am! I'm shutting my eyes!" I had my hands over my face. It's like, it was just a woman's lingerie commercial. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it's been pornography. It is. I'm like, kids can't watch it. I should watch it. It's just absolutely crazy. The way our country has gone, it's just absolutely nuts. Nuts. And we just sit. We go, okay, I guess it, it's weird. We'll have to. And then we watch it. Our kids like me is watching this and wondering what's going on with this. And then the frog syndrome. How do you boil a frog, a live frog, without it jumping out of the pot or pan? Many of you guys know this, right? Who knows this? Hands. Well, I shouldn't even say anything. Let's move on. You guys know you turn it up slow, right? Now, I wonder about this, so I got a frog and put it in a pan. And my wife's face came in my mind, and I just went, and I took the pan through her mouth and said, "No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding." But you know that happens. It happens to all of us. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. That would be verse 10, verse 11. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. The angels reached out, pulled Lot inside, smit the men outside with blindness. Now this is what's so crazy. This is all about sin. This is all about the enemy. This is all about what our flesh is capable of. Don't ever think that you've got a handle on your flesh. Don't ever. Because yet even in their blindness, the men of Sodom still tried to break into Lot's house in order to fulfill their sexual desires. If it weren't so ugly and it's disdaining, I would laugh. It could be almost a comedy. You strike them all with blindness and you're still going around like the Walking Dead trying to get in the house. That's pretty nuts, man. That's crazy. That's evil. Look, I am. We're not like that. We were. Okay. I have a very good friend named Ron Scoog, and he wants to tell everyone, let everybody know, praise God, he finally got his granddaughter. She's living with him now. Way to pray. Way to pray. And awesome stuff. And so anyway, but I was with Ron had cancer. And I won't go into how he got it, and it was crazy how he got it and everything, how they found it, rather. So he's up, and so I go up and visit him, and he's telling me about these people in a cancer ward. And they take out, they got cancer, lung cancer, and different throat cancer, and this cancer, and that cancer, because of tobacco. And you'll see them outside, taking a smoke break, dragging a cigarette through their throat. Excuse me. It's almost like this. Can you believe that? Tobacco, nicotine is what caused them to be all jacked up to begin with, and they're out there smoking through their throat. I don't get that. I don't understand that kind of a mentality. I don't get it. But yet, I'd stand up here and teach people and counsel people, and they walk out the door and they go directly the different direction. Different direction. And then years later, they come back and they want to know why their life just went into the ditch. Did you take this? Did you look at this? So they're still running around trying to do their stuff. Who will judge us, they said, verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one came, and this is why they're blind, by the way, to stay here. And he's talking about Lot. And he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you, Lot, than them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. I got ahead of myself. Both small and great, so that they become weary trying to find the door. And I guess they would come weary trying to find the door, right? So don't judge me, man. You ever heard that? Don't judge me, man. Kind of a thing people say. Don't judge me, said the men of Sodom to Lot. You hang out with us too. You've become like us. How do you think you can be a judge over us now that you've been with us for so long and you've hung out with us for so long? You know, they do have a point, right? They do have a point. I remember a story 40-some years ago. I can't remember how exactly. I was backslidden bad. And my Jesus was Jesus. He was my guy. And my God. And the Holy Spirit. I mean. So we're playing poker one night, and the guy started coming off on my Lord, saying really bad things about him. He was a Hare Krishna. I always thought they were hairy, but they're not. It's just a word, Hare Krishna. And he always smelled like curry for some reason. But he just came off, you know, against me, and I kind of got into it, playing poker and drinking beer and smoking pot. And I'm like coming off against him, you know, and he's like, and then he goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? I go, what do you mean what I'm doing? He goes, hey, I very rarely drink. My religion says I don't drink, smoke. What are you doing? And I remember going, oh my goodness. One of those times you just go, it's in your face, and you go, and everything clicks, and you go, oh man, I'm a sinner. Actually, I had no right talking about someone else, because I've been with you. I've been worse than you. I've been hanging out and doing all the things, yet I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. That was a beginning of my coming back to the Lord. Very young at the time. I remember that. Be careful with that. I remember it still like it was yesterday. I felt so condemned. I felt so, horrible about it. Well, again, we talked about the angels reaching out and pulling Lot inside, striking him with blindness. They still wanted to go, still wanted to do what they wanted to do. Just like the guy, I want to smoke cigarettes. I don't care if they're killing me. If you know something's killing you, would you continue to do it? 12 through 14 says this. Then the man said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or whomever you have in that city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out. of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. Why not? What's wrong here? You guys know what's going on here? This man Lot, shocked, scandalized. Unbelievable. Why didn't Lot's son-in-law listen to him? Because he had moved his family to Sodom and became a leader of the community. Lot lost his credibility, his integrity, and his witness. Big time. It's like, you're a joke. That's what they said. Are you kidding me? You're a joke. Leave? Man, you've been hanging out. They couldn't trust him anymore. Couldn't trust him at all. And the same's true today for us. For example, a dad loses credibility whenever his kids see him continually glaring inconsistencies between the words and his walk. Do you understand that? Now, I know sometimes there is differences. You know, we just mess up, you know. But when there's continued glaring inconsistencies between his words and his walk, the kids lose all faith. The same happened here. So it's safe to say poor Lot was in a quagmire. His peers told him to step off, stand back, step off, Lot, because his peers told him to step off and stand back, and his family simply scoffed at him, and he was a joke. He was in a quagmire. He had relinquished all authority and respect because of compromise. Because of compromise. Now, we all compromise in our life. We just do. It's just our flesh. But we're talking about consistent compromise. Living in Sodom and Gomorrah for years and years and years. Well, we're almost done. Verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you can be consumed in the punishment of the city." 16, and while he lingered, there it is, he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. He lingered, there's many reasons, but, I don't think he believed it. You're not going to blow this city. Well, there's not going to be a rapture. Oh, there's no rapture. The Lord will never come back. You always say the Lord's coming. The Bible tells us there'll be those that say, "Oh, you've been saying that forever. The Lord's never coming back." He's coming back, Jack, Jim, and Harry. I'll tell you that right now. And it's going to be soon. Now, whether it's the rapture, I believe it's the rapture. Some people don't. But he's coming. You can bet on that. He's coming. So it came to pass when they brought them outside, and he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Instead, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtakers might hurt me and I die." End of story. He didn't trust God. There was no evildoers in the mountains. He'd never been in the mountains. Angels say, "Get up, get out of here, fast, fast." What would you do if two big angels came down and told you, and that you knew they're angels? I would go, "Where? Be for boogie." saddle up the horses. Not Lot. The only reason I could think of Lot's lingering is that, again, he didn't really believe the angels. He'd been there for so long. It'll never happen. You know how you get so entrenched in something. It'll never change. It'll always be like this. And maybe he thought maybe his son-in-laws would come back and show up. Unless, of course, he had bitten into the devil's lie so much that, like the frog, he was beginning to think it's never going to happen. He actually began to boil. Wilt thou destroy the righteousness with the wicked? Remember, Genesis 18:23. Abraham had asked the Lord that. Well, answer, here it illustrated here is no, he doesn't. Because before judgment could be poured out upon Sodom, before fire and brimstone could come down to destroy Gomorrah, God rescued Lot and those of his household. He rescued the righteous. Huh? We can say, praise the Lord. Let's say it. 1, 2, 3.
Praise the Lord.
He rescued the righteous. Praise the Lord. He rescued the righteous.
Praise the Lord.
You guys need to be louder than them. He rescued the righteous.
Praise the Lord.
There you go.
Amen.
Righteous? That gives me pause. I just read his story. Selah. Let's stop and think about that. I'm like, I'm scratching my head. Lot righteous, a guy who would call perverted people his brothers, a guy who would offer his daughters to the homosexual mob, a guy who would linger when angels told him to get out. Lot righteous? Yes, for that is what Peter calls him in 2 Peter 2:7. We won't turn there, but he says, and you guys can write that down, check it out, but he says, Lot was righteous. He was righteous. A man didn't say anything bad about him. Of course, in the New Testament, the Old Testament cats, they never talk bad about. It's kind of a cool thing. That's another whole thing about Jesus and the New Testament and us. We are righteous before God, even though we're dirt bags. But we're righteous before God. When God sees us, he sees Jesus. That's why we're righteous. Not because of our works, they're like dirty rags. But you see, the thing is, because righteousness is imputed solely on the basis of simple faith, of the heart and of the mind. In other words, I am righteous and so are you if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is who he is claimed to be, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. Now notice with me, that was mind and heart. Heart. I know, honey, it's 8. I'll be right done right quick. Heart. It's important to know that. Okay, no one knows the heart except God. Now there's fruit that comes out of the heart, right? We can't be fruit inspectors, kind of. I mean, if a man has no fruit up until he dies, you can pretty much figure out something's wrong somewhere. But God knows the heart. He knows the heart. I love this chapter because there are a lot of people. Get it? A lot of people. Oh, you guys just don't get it. I care about deeply who, like Lot, made a profession of faith, ended up in Sodom. They ended up in Sodom. They're out there on the street. They're doing drugs. They're you know, womanizing or whatever you might do. They ended up in Sodom, not living the way they know they should. So if you're worried about a family or a family member, and I think we all can relate to that, take hope in this lesson tonight. While we don't want anyone to follow Lot's example, why? Well, because you know. And please hear this, church. Please hear this. Because sin brings all kinds of pain and problems. You want your whole life to exist as pain and problem? Oh, you're saved, but you love pain and problems so much that you want to live it until you die. Do you want that? Do you guys want that? Well, continue the way that you've been going, and I'm just here to tell you that's what you're going to get. But if you stop it now, take full advantage of this program and come out of this program like a missile, your life will be good. Put Jesus first, family second, and then your church, your ministry, whatever it might be. Oh, it's up to you. And here we see that that's what that brings. Oh, you might be saved, but if you continue in Lot's footsteps, this is going to be agony. And next week, whoever teaches next week will see it ends badly for Lot, horribly. And so, if the son of yours confesses with his mouth that Jesus is who he's claimed to be and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, then they will go, if we have the rapture, up to the rapture. By the way, of which this account in Genesis is a perfect illustration of the rapture. Perfect. It just doesn't tell us if it's going to be before the tribulation or after the tribulation. I'm like way chicken. I'm betting for before the tribulation. But I want to be ready just in case if it's the other way. But it's a picture of the rapture. In fact, I don't know how the Lord could be painting any more powerful picture of this to say, I'm going to rescue people. You may have thought we're hopelessly lost, but I'm going to rescue them anyway because I know their hearts. So don't give up on them, guys. Okay? Don't give up on them. And finally, escape for your life, the Lord said to Lot. Same is true today of the tribulation. Jesus said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, meaning the great tribulation, in Luke 21:36. In fact, our critics say the reason you guys at Calvary Chapel Daniels always talk about the rapture happening before the tribulation is because you just want to escape the tribulation. And guess what? They're right. Come on, Lord, please. Yeah. And if that's not true, then hey, we're still God's. Now in telling Lot to escape to the mountains, the Lord wanted to turn a city boy into a mountain man. Did you catch that? A city boy into a mountain man. Throughout Scripture, the Lord continually calls his people to the mountains. I have some examples here. You guys can check it out. Abraham, right? Called Abraham to the mountain. And Moriah. Well, Israelites gathered to receive commandments from the Lord at Mount Sinai. Moriah was a mount of devotion. The Ten Commandments was a mount of instruction. Moses viewed the Promised Land. That's a mount of vision. Elijah, the Mount Carmel, mount of passion. And when Peter, James, and John, who beheld the glory of God, he calls us to Mount Hermon, the mount of transfiguration. And finally, cherry pie and coffee. The most important mountains to which God is calling us to is Mount Calvary, the mount of crucifixion, the mount of die to self. Ooh, that's a hard one. Die to self. You know, that's basically the main problem of all of our problems. Pride, dying to self. Narcissism. The world has given it another term. But as is our tendency, we see how sad that Lot was fearful to make that journey to die to self. He was fearful. Father, let us not be fearful tonight, or arrogant, or selfish, to totally surrender every day, God, to make that journey that you want us to make to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, a real quick one, then we'll go eat. pie and ice cream. Did we already cut the pie, honey? Okay. Lot. Yeah, that guy really confuses me. When I see him in heaven, I'm going to punch him in the nose. Because I'll be so holy. Yeah. Let's stand.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.